I want to welcome you to Wednesday night Bible class. If you're visiting with us, thank you for coming and adding to our Bible study as we look at victory over trials. And what we're trying to accomplish in this class is to gain knowledge on how we can overcome the trials in our life, understand the trials in our life, how we can gain something from those trials in our life, how we can put tools in our toolbox to help us on our journey as we go through life, and especially our spiritual walk with God. And so this evening, we're going to take a look at our journey. Part of the text that we use on Wednesday night has been the book of Job. What are some things we know about Job? He went through a lot of trials with his health. What else? Suffered? Family? Faith in God. Even though he had all these trials in his life, he did not lose his faith in God. I think it was last week we took a look at that he questioned God. He asked why. He questioned God about why certain things were happening to him. And there's some, if you think about it, there's very difficult things happened to him. Lost his children. He lost his livestock, his way of supporting his family. His friends turned out to be no help, really. And then on top of that, God gets down on him and starts asking him a bunch of questions, didn't he? And we took a look at those when we took a look at some of apologetics in the book of Job, which is a real, real neat scientific study to look into. So this evening we're going to take a look at our journey. See, think of your life as a journey from the time that you're born until sometime when you pass to the other side. It's almost like going down a road. A road has a beginning and a road has an end. And so we have a beginning and we have an end. We have this journey that's in front of us as we go through. And I remember talking to one person, and they're talking about something that was going in their going through in their life, and they said, "I guess that's part of my journey." And they kind of recognized their life as a journey, and that whatever was happening to them was part of that. We have to believe that God is part of that journey, a big part of that journey. God knew us when we were created. God knew us before we were born. God knew us when we started school, and high school, and graduation, and wherever else our journey takes us. God is there. He knows us. He knows us personally. He knows our ups and our downs. He knows our strengths and our weaknesses. And we took a look at the nature of God, and we took a look at the nature of God specifically for that reason, is that God is all-powerful and all-knowing and everywhere, to the point that we can't get away from him, and we shouldn't want to get away from him. We should want to be with him. And that this journey that we're not on this journey alone, but God is there with us. And God provides for us. I remember this been a while ago, Dan Jenkins talked about the phrase Jehovah Jireh. And I taught my children that, because I'd drop them off at the bus stop or somewhere, and they would come up with a problem, and I would yell out the door or yell out the window, "Remember, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Jireh." God supplies. One of the members here texted me this psalm, and I thought this would be good. Psalm 30, verse 5. "For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the evening." I thought that was a great great verse to look at. It has to do with going down our journey, and it has to do with the nature of God. One of the tools that I brought up before is prayer. I'll tell you what, I'll do a little promotion right now, a little PR work. If you're a young adult, I want to invite you to your young adult class that's going to happen in June, and I'm going to be your teacher, and that's exactly what we're going to work on, and we're going to study prayer. This class is called Teach Me to Pray. I think it's going to be really good, probably over an adult one. We talked about the importance of prayer, and like Dan said earlier, you know, we just don't do it for no reason. I mean, there's a reason we do that. We believe it changes lives. We should believe that it has an impact on our life. We believe that it has an impact on people's lives that we pray for. And so keep a prayer list. I have a prayer list right here inside my Bible. You know, some of you might be on my prayer list. Keep that list, keep it going, an ongoing list. Keep a prayer journal. Over on this side, I have what you might want to put down. And I had to think of something. I just thought of something. Please bless Palm Beach Lakes and our missionaries. That's something you could pray for. And I know many of you do. Then over on this side of your journal, then, you put down a date. And keep this journal. And keep it going. And it's amazing, as time goes on, and you look backwards in your prayer journal, and you say, what did I pray for on May 23rd? And you look back, and you look, and you say, wow, look what God has done since 5 months ago, 6 months ago, 8 months ago. And it's a reflection of your faith, it's a reflection of your prayer life by keeping that journal. So just a couple of tools there. Some other tools that we talked about before from some previous lessons. Don't play with the devil. Stay away. Don't be the person that you're walking up the mountain and you're just right by the cliff and taking chances. Be that person that's hugging the mountainside as you're going up. That person is absolutely safe, aren't they? They're not by the edge. So don't play with the devil. Build strong relationships with faithful Christians. Ooh, that is so important. There's some relationship experts, I guess you would call them. Relationship experts say that for someone to feel needed and for someone to feel that they belong, they have to have a personal relationship with at least 7 people. I'm not sure where they get their data. I'm not sure how they came up with that. But that's what the experts say. You should have a personal relationship with at least 7 people. And those people, then you feel that you belong somewhere. But it takes effort. You know, and I know people that maybe they're shy. And they might just sit down alone somewhere in some corner and they're not putting out an effort to get to know people. So make sure that that's part of your spiritual life, is to make those strong relationships with faithful Christians. And then also keep the kingdom of God first in your life. Right now I'm speaking to people that come out on Wednesday night Bible class, aren't I? You know, I'm speaking to the people that probably have the kingdom of God first in their life, because you're sitting here on Wednesday night Bible class. But so just kind of spread it to everybody else, would you? Make Sunday morning a priority. Make Sunday morning Bible class a priority. Make Sunday night a priority. You know, if you're not a Sunday night person right now, and you could be if it's within your realm of possibility, do that. Make sure you do that. Come back on Sunday night to worship God. And don't miss out. And in your daily life, in your daily devotionals, in your relationships with other people, make sure that you put the kingdom of God first in your life. Listen, Satan cannot be around that. Think about that. You know, you think about trials in your life, Satan can't be around that. Yeah, wasn't it Bill, I think it was Bill Ingram Jr., that he had a soccer team, and they're scheduled on Wednesday nights, and he said, no, we will not do that on Wednesday night because I have to go to Bible class, and my son has to go to Bible class. So that was it. He planned that, didn't he? Yes, Dirk. Oh, good one, yeah. You always have time. You always have time for those things that are important. And Joe, if you didn't hear Joe, you schedule your life, plan your life around those things. There's people that have a career. They chose a career. I mean, that career could interfere with their spiritual life absolutely easily, couldn't it?
One thing I'll have to do is go to church.
Me too, Vera.
I'd go every day if you...
Vera said she'd come here every day. And I suppose you could if you wanted to, Vera. I don't know if anybody would be here, but you could if you wanted to. This question has been since man was created. Why are we here? Why are we here? Why am I here? Why is Phil here? Why is Johnny here? Why are we in existence? You know, the Bible tells us. God tells us. We're here to do good works. That's why we're here. If you want an answer, that's the answer. And go to heaven. We're here to do good works. God wants to use us on this earth as a tool for Him, a servant. I think it was last week, we also talked about, we have our own will, and God doesn't violate that will. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. I shouldn't say anything right now. We also talked about the chastening of the Lord. I'm not even close to that, am I? All right, what course do we take? All right, this is at the end of lesson 10, and I just kind of ran out of time, and I really had to rush through it, so I wanted to go back. Some problems there are could be avoided. You have to admit that. You know, husbands, say something to your wife, can't take it back. Then you say, oh, man, I wish I wouldn't have said that. Well, that could be avoided by not saying anything.
Like, whose shower is it?
Like, whose shower is it, Joe? Yes, thanks for bringing that up, yeah. That probably shouldn't have ever been. But if that wasn't said, then there wouldn't be all this entertainment around the country. Free entertainment. And what if you don't have a husband? Others can be cured. Problems can be solved. The rest can be endured. And then all can be used for our profit. We can learn from them. You know, the saying that says, learn from your mistakes. You can learn from your mistakes. They're mistakes, but you can learn from them. And we can endure those problems in our life. Why? Because we have God. Because God is there. And don't forget, there might be a reason for you to go through what you're going through. And we can learn from that. And God is trying to teach us something because of what we're going through. And so that's something, integral part of this class. In a basic sense, sin is the root of all suffering. God made all things good, Genesis 1:31 says. And anger and agonizing heartache should be against Satan, not God. You know, there's bad things that happen. Remember, I think one of the more humorous classes we had this quarter is when I took a look at plane accidents. And I'm sorry, I don't know why I even think that's humorous. I shouldn't even think that's humorous, but... You know, we took a look at plane accidents, and, you know, blame blame Satan. A lot of people want to turn their blame to God. Blame Satan. God said all things are created good. What is your perception of Satan? We took a look at this too, didn't we? If your perception is the same as Hollywood's perception, you got the wrong perception. That's not Satan. He's not going to come to you in the shape and form like you see up on the screen or any other shape and form that you see like that. That's not Satan at all. Satan is sneaky and tricky. He's deceiving. He's a deceiving spirit. He's the father of lies. He's going to come to you as something that looks good. It's a temptation. You know, if this guy over here comes knocking on the door with his yellow eyes, I probably will not let him in. I'll probably tell my Rottweiler to sick him. She probably won't, but at least I'd try. Hebrews 12:6 says, "For whom the Lord loves, he chastens." Why? Because it's for our profit. It could be direct, like Abraham. It could be indirectly, like Job and Paul. Remember Job's trials that he went on? It wasn't God that did those things. God allowed Satan to do things to Job, right? So it's indirectly. Look at the life of Paul. If you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, it says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure." Now, Paul recognized that the thing that was happening to him was for his benefit. It was for his spiritual benefit. He's not saying my life was easy. Was Paul's life easy? No. It's very hard, very difficult. Paul's journey was very difficult. But yet he was faithful to God. Then, of course, what is God trying to show me through all this? Probably the most important question that we have. We also took a look at God's intentional will, and we took a look at God's permissive will. And we want to make sure that when we talk to people, that we have to be careful when we say, well, that was God's will. Could someone jump off a building? They could, couldn't they? They have their own will. Would that be God's will that that person jumped off the building? No. Human beings have their own will, and God does not violate our own will. It's part of his nature. He doesn't do that. So when you read something about something that's really bad and tragic that's happening, like the woman, I think it was a couple weeks ago, the woman that shot her children, somewhere in Florida, I'm not sure where, shot her own children. A tragedy like that, that's not from God. That woman had a choice. That woman exercised her own free will. And for some reason did what she did, pulled the triggers. The road ahead. God's word teaches us that tribulations are certain. Remember the lesson we had on storms in our life? There will be storms in our life. God's word teaches us that tribulations are uncertain. They're painful. They're temporary. And also, they're beneficial. Go ahead and get your Bibles, turn to the book of Job. Adversity is certain. If you look at Job 5:7 says, "Yet man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward." Job's take on things, there's going to be trouble. It's going to be certain. And if you look at 14:1, "Man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble." Paul's journey was one hard, long fight. And Moses chose the hard road. Talk about somebody that had free will. Moses had free will. But Moses chose the hard road. What would happen if Moses chose to stay with Pharaoh? don't know. Think about that.
We wouldn't know about it.
You know, he chose a very difficult path for himself, didn't he? I mean, compared to what he could have been. Prince of Egypt? Maybe in the line of succession to be the next Pharaoh? Who knows? But yet Moses chose a different path. Adversity is certain. 1 Peter 2:20. For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults and take it patiently, but when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. Adversity is certain. If you take a look over and let's go to the book of Philippians then also. We have the Word of God that tells us that things are going to happen in our life that we would probably recognize as some things that, you know, we don't want to happen. We're going to have adversity. There's going to be those storms. For to you has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake. Having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here is in me. Is Christianity the easy road? You know, when someone is contemplating to become a Christian, they're contemplating a path that could be lined with difficulty. There's been people that have decided to become a Christian and their family is against it. And they make their journey absolutely difficult because that person decided to be a Christian. So when somebody decides to be a Christian, they're not taking the easy route, that's for sure. If you look in John 16, starting verse 20, most assuredly I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come, but as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish. For the joy that a human being has been born is into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. Are we going to experience adversity? Yes. Can there be joy in our life? Yes. Adversity can be absolutely uncertain. Go to James chapter 4. If you look at verse 14 and 15, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. Adversity comes, it's uncertain what time it's going to come. It's uncertain what kind of adversity we have awaiting for us, and it's also uncertain about the length. We talked about storms go away. I mean, it could be up until eternity that your storms go away. Or it could be the next day. We don't know how long. We don't know how long. But Hebrews 12:1 says that we should run with patience. That's an athletic term, isn't it? We should run with patience. Adversity certainly could be painful. Think about the pain that our Lord endured on our behalf. Jesus did not pick the easy road. Because he had his mission to do on earth, and that was the salvation of mankind, he endured pain, hardship, loneliness. He endured all that so that you and I could have that hope of heaven. And so on our journey, we have to remember those that have gone before us. The apostles did not have an easy road. Jesus Christ did not have an easy road in front of them. But yet, their life was full of faithfulness. And our life should be full of faithfulness. Adversity is temporary. Christian versus humanist. Kind of reminds me of a TV show. Is it on the Learning Channel? Maybe the History Channel. My son got me interested in this. And what they do is they take, maybe it's United States Navy SEALs versus the Israeli Special Forces. And they have computer-generated things going on. And at the end, they say who wins this battle. George Washington versus Napoleon. All kinds of different things. Christian versus humanist. What does a humanist have to offer a suffering soul? A humanist is someone who believes that humans are it. They are the ones in power. There's not a God creator over them. A humanist believes that people, that's it. They believe in humanity for sure. Hence the word humanist. But they don't believe in God the Creator. What does that person have to offer somebody that's suffering? Compare it to someone who's a Christian. Someone who has knowledge of the Word of God. Someone who has knowledge of the nature of God. Someone who has knowledge of Jesus Christ. Just think how much you have to offer that person that's suffering. You have a lot. And that suffering soul could benefit by knowing you because you are a Christian. 1 Peter 1:6 says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials." Yep. There's going to be adversity in our lives, adversity in our friends' lives. But we will be able to overcome and we will be able to have victory. Or maybe I just don't. Okay. All right. Wrong attitude. Sorry about that. Wrong attitude. Receive adversity with contempt and indignation, railing against God. People do that. Bad things happen. What am I going to do? I'm going to blame God. I'm going to rail against God. Wrong attitude. Right attitude. Understand that trials promote our spiritual growth. Our trials promote our spiritual growth. Keep that logged in your head. That just that saying right there will make life better. I'm not saying that trials are going to go away. I didn't say that. But it makes life better. Adversity is for our profit. This is so neat. I'm glad the bell isn't going to get us, is it? The mama eagle teaches the baby eagles how to fly. The mama eagle literally kicks or pushes the baby eagle out of the nest. So let's say the nest is on a very high cliff up in the mountains. The baby actually falls as it's trying to flap its wings. Looks tragic, but it's not. Because right behind the falling baby is the mama bird, the mama eagle. And the mama eagle will actually swoop down and catch the baby bird on its back or its wing as it goes along. And then teaches the baby again by throwing it out again and teaching it to flap its wings to fly. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 11 and 12. "As an eagle stirs up its nest, hovers over its young, spreading out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on its wings, so the Lord alone led him, and there was no foreign God with him." Adversity is for our profit. The adversity that a baby eagle goes through is for that baby eagle's profit, because that baby eagle will learn how to fly. Our adversity that we go through is for our profit. Rejoice in your persecutions. Difficult? Yes. Go ahead and turn to the book of Matthew chapter 5. "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Difficult? Yes. Paul rejoiced. Even though Paul went through his trials, his shipwreck, his disappointments, the adversity put in Paul's life, said he had a thorn in his side. Even though he had those adversities, he still was the Apostle Paul, wasn't he? He's full of faith. He learned to overcome those trials and to move on and move ahead. Paul had patience, and we should have patience. Paul was able to take adversity, use it for his benefit, and we should be able to understand that, and we should be able to do that for ourselves as well. Any comments here before the last part, the last bell gets us? All right, that's all I have. Thank you very much.